Worship State Ministry, Queensland. It's now Friday evening, the 17th of April, 1998, and we're at Hillview for Bible studies with guest speaker, Mr. Peter Brandon from the UK. This evening, it's coming to the last but one of the series on Romans 5, 6, and 7, and Peter's taking up tonight Romans chapter 8, with the theme of complete transformity and present transformity and future transformity.
We are just going to look at one or two verses tonight, and it's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and we're going to look at this study of complete transformity. That means a complete change. Just two verses, verse 11 and then verse 23. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, that means make alive, your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, I've got to explain that to you. It's not easy to explain. We shall try and do it by demonstration. Look at verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. That means we are inward sons, but we haven't got sonship bodies. We've got to have a complete change of body. Now, let's try and explain that. Would you help me, please? You don't mind here. Just come out. If you just stand with the back, that's better. Lovely. When a person becomes a Christian, now watch this carefully. Number one, there is conviction stage, and that's painful. Number two, there is enlightening stage about the cross of Christ. Then there comes a moment when a person actually receives Jesus Christ as Savior, as Lord. And when it's the real work of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes in and he is born of God. And then the whole work of the Holy Spirit is to beautify your personality. And he works on you, he brings all kinds of pressures upon your life, so that Christ is formed in you. Now that's what he wants to do with Christians today. He wants to make us like Jesus Christ. And we go through all kinds of pressures, we have all kinds of difficulties, until Christ is formed in us. Now when Jesus Christ comes the second time, something wonderful will happen. Now the physical body is said to be physically dead, because it's a dying body. The person inside the body is the soul, and that is made alive. So with a Christian, there is a paradox. The inward man, the personality, is being renewed whilst this body is dying. Now, he couldn't take this body into heaven. For instance, God has certain animals that we call who are amphibious. They can live on the land or they can live in the water. But generally speaking, there's the body of a fish that's made for the water. There's the body of human beings and animals made for the earth. And there are bodies that are made for the air, like birds. Now, this body could not possibly go into heaven. If it went into heaven, it would just disintegrate. You couldn't even put this body on the moon. We couldn't put this body, unless you had a mechanical body, on Mars. You've got to have a kind of a spacesuit. Now, when the Lord comes, the Holy Spirit that's been changing your personality and conforming it into Christ will immediately change this body. And this body will become the body of glory, and it will be a body like the Lord Jesus when he was raised from the dead. Note these differences. He came through the grave clothes without the grave clothes being disturbed. He came out of the sepulchre without the stone being removed. He came through a door without the door being opened. He went from A to B, sometimes in the power of levitation. And he went through gravity without the power of rocketry. Now that's the kind of body he's going to give us. The body of glory. And that will be an amazing thing. Thank you very much. Now, just one or two things about this. God has problems with us concerning his inward transformity. I remember being in the hairdressers, and there was a boy sitting in the barber's chair. And he said, "What kind of haircut, sonny?" He was about 13. And there were all kinds of pictures. He says, "That one." All right. And he started to work on him. But would you believe it, he wouldn't keep still. So he said to him, "Keep still, laddie. You're not a child. I want to make you like that person. Keep still." So he went on clipping and cutting. And then would you believe it, the chap said, "I want to go to lavatory." "Dear me," he said. So he showed him. Then he came back. "And would you believe it," he said, "I've left something, a little thing in my..." He wanted to have the wireless on when the man was cutting his hair. So he had to get up. And I could see what the barber was saying. "My word, I'd sooner clip his hair than clip his hair." You see, he was up and down, up and down. Now, if only he would have acquiesced and gave himself completely to the barber, he would have made a beautiful job of his hair. But he was fidgeting, he was in, he was out. And I thought, well, what a state to be in. Now, lots of Christians like that. Instead of giving themselves completely to the Lord, they keep on getting out of the chair, as it were, and having excursions in the world. And the Lord must say, "Oh dear, what a trouble I'm having with these people." Now, that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to give ourselves completely to him so that he can conform us to Christ. And then when the Lord Jesus comes, such is the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, the one that has been changing our personality, and that takes time, will immediately change our bodies. And that shows the glory and the power. But now, it's so difficult for us to understand, so I'm going to give you a demonstration now of the second coming. Now, I want the young people to come. Would you come, dear? Would you come? Is there another? Where's my... Oh, that boy there. Would you come? Good. Just come out. Lovely. And we'll have a demo. And that boy there. That's right, yes. No, behind. In the mauve. That's right, yes. Good. Lovely. Now, if you line up, we'll do this. Number one. Now, I'm going to give him a special prize. It's going to be difficult. It's back here. When a person becomes a Christian, we have seen that the Holy Spirit comes into his life and he is sealed with the Holy Spirit. That means, just as a farmer seals his sheep, so God puts an unseen seal upon us and he says, "He belongs to me." Now he's living, he's in Christ as in the church of God. Now, would you come?
What?
Now you're in Christ and you're alive. This boy has done exactly the same as this lad. And he has been sealed with the Spirit, but there's an accident. He runs across the road, he doesn't look, and a car hits him, and God says, "Right, I'm taking you to heaven." And the person who lived inside the body, his soul, is taken into the presence of God. And his body is put in the grave, and it's not dead, it's sleeping. Sleeping. And the word in the Greek means a doze. Not a deep sleep, a doze. So he's dead in Christ, he's alive in Christ. Now would you come? Now I think this boy ought to have a prize, because this is going to be difficult. He'll never forgive me for this. This is a person that has a mechanical conversion. He's brought up from childhood, he hears all about sin, he hears all about the cross, he hears all about receiving Jesus. Probably there was a missioner there and a number of people trusted Christ, right, he says, I'll do the same. But there's no conviction, no enlightenment, and he bows his head and says, you know, oh Lord, please save me. He said to his mum and dad, I'm saved. He gets baptized, he sits around the Lord's table, but he's a pretender. He's living a dualistic life. He's living one life at school and another life before his parents, and he is a pretender. Got it? Alive in Christ, dead in Christ, pretending to be in Christ. Now would that girl come? Now, sure, forgive me this, I hope it's not true. But she has been brought up with Christianity, and the Lord has been trying to break into her life. One night she hears about hell, she shuts off. Another night she hears how that Christ died for her, she shuts off. Another night she hears how that Christ comes right near and stands knocking. And she knows that he's been knocking. She shuts off. And then something sad happens. The Lord turns away. And her heart's hardened. And it will touch me to say this. She never will be saved. She's missed her opportunity. She's hardened her heart. And there are thousands like that. Never will be saved. You can't play about with the majesty of the Lord Jesus. He speaks, he speaks, he speaks, and you can shut the door, and that's the end. Now, when the Lord Jesus comes, I want you to note this. He's going to leave heaven number 3, called paradise. He's coming right down into space that's called the air. And he's going to come with a mighty shout. He's going to come with the voice of the archangel. He's going to come with the mighty trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And the others will be left behind. And that could happen any moment. Now what I'm going to do is this. I shall point to you, but don't go back. I shall even point to you right on the nose, but don't go back. It's when I point and touch you on the shoulder, I want you to go back to your seat like grease lightning. You know what lightning is, don't you? Well, you know when you grease it up, it's really fast. Well, I want you to go back like that. All right, now we'll watch this and see how good they are. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You no need to turn to it. I'll read it. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now listen to it. Ready? Good. Lovely. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a wonderful moment that will be. And it could happen, hallelujah, tonight. What a mighty reunion in the clouds. And what a great meeting to meet the Saviour that we've seen for faith. But what a tragedy for the pretenders. What a tragedy for the rejecters. You know, people are switch on the television and they hear or see a white-faced man saying something like this. Millions missing. The greatest mystery in history. And then the whole thing will go blank. And those who are left behind will realize you can't pretend. It's a terrible thing to reject Christ and they'll be left behind for the great judgment. They will see the man of sin and be deceived by him. And they will be in the great tribulation when millions will be destroyed. The judgment of God. No wonder the folk singer wrote, a man and wife asleep in bed. He hears a noise. She turns her head. He's gone. I wish we'd all been ready. I'd wish we'd all been ready. Trust, I'm sure you're not a pretender. And I trust you're not a rejecter. That's lovely. Good, back you go. Now, it's this story I've been working at it. Trust it will be a blessing to you all. We got to the point in the story where Ruth was taken right up into the insight room, the perception room. And she was directed to a telescope. And it was called the prophetic telescope. And Mr. Love said, right, look into it, Ruth. And he switched on some current. And she looked and she got a shock. First of all, she was taken into that realm called the air, and she saw the seat of a monarch. And it wasn't the Lord's seat. It was the seat of a man called Lucifer, the devil. And she saw power that completely staggered her. Then she saw that all of these beings that could live without bodies were there in the air, and some were called demons. And they attacked the people of the world. And then she looked and she saw demons that were called lords, principalities. And these principalities were brilliant men, or brilliant beings. They had enormous minds. They had tremendous strength. They had great perception. and these beings attacked a group of people known as God's Judge. And suddenly, she saw this Lucifer beginning to speak to his hordes of demons, and it frightened her, and he pulled her away. I'll switch off, but that's the enemy we're up against. I want to show you something about him. Look again, and she looked. And she saw a group of people, and it was called the Ecclesia. And as she looked, she said, what a beautiful company of people. She was staggered. They were all dressed in beautiful white garments. They had golden crowns on their heads. And they were called the Overcomers. She said, who are they? Watch. And right in the midst of these hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people, she saw one person, and she looked and she smiled and she said, that looks like me. And she looked again. Oh, that's me. Can't be. I'm not as righteous as that. I haven't got a crown on my head. Who's that really? And then love spoke and said, my dear, they are all my people. They belong to the church, my company. They're joint heirs with me. And they're going to reign with me, not only over the earth, but in the eternal state, and they're going to reign with me forever. And you see me among that people? Yes, complete in the Lord. She didn't want to do it, but she gripped his hand and she kept on saying, thank you, thank you. Oh, thank you for all this grace that you've given to me. I never knew I was like that. Now I've got to show you something that's terrible. Are you ready? I think so, but that first sight caused me to be terrified. All right, I will help you. Go to the telescope again. And she looked. And she saw these lordly demons. And then she was almost introduced to Lucifer himself. And he was speaking, and he was saying something like this. The principal of education, would you please stand? Thank you. You've done a great work on the subject of evolution. But the enemy is beginning to understand. And quite frankly, it's becoming old-fashioned. I think now you should have an entirely new theory. Perhaps explore the Great Bang Theory. And then if you can, explore existentialism more. And try and deceive the enemy's people with scientific... I was going to say nonsense, but hypothesis. Yes, Master. Then he called someone else to come out, and he said, Principal Religion, would you stand up? Yes, Master. You've done a great work for nearly 2,000 years, splitting up all the churches and giving them names. And then she heard this, oh, I know where that comes from. But I want you now to really attack the real church. Don't worry about religion that always belonged to us. Look how religious I can be. I'm the God of this world. But attack, oh, I don't like to say this, attack the Ecclesia, the real church of born-again people. But how am I to do it, Master? You can't really attack the fundamentals, but attack them on the non-essentials. Throw that bone of contention between sovereignty and free will among them, and they'll all be arguing. Throw that among them. And if they don't go for that, throw that matter of the length of a woman's hair. Get them arguing on how long is long. Can you see? And then they'll start roaring and fighting over that, and it will destroy the church. You see, don't worry about the other religions. They always belong to us. But attack that church. You can't attack them on the fundamentals, but you can attack them on the non-essentials. Do it. Thank you, Master. Oh, one more thing. Regarding criticism, get them criticizing one another. When someone doesn't dot an I, make it an explosion. When someone doesn't cross a T, make it an explosion. Get them all criticizing one another. Thank you, Master. I'll be at that immediately. Good. You've done a great work. Go on working. And then he said, is principal authority here? Yes. Listen to this. You've done a great work, but really, you must attack leaders in the evangelical church, the real church. How am I going to do it? First of all, get some of the leaders full of pride. Yeah? Then if you can, come upon one of the leaders, and if you can, chain him up with jealousy. Bind him. Then fill his heart with hate. You see, now this is a secret I want you to observe. The enemy's churches will not rise above the level of their spiritual leaders. Do you realize that? Now, attack those leaders. Stop them from praying. Get them discussing, you know, the conference and how many buns shall we have and things like that. But don't get them discussing the spirituality of the saints. Get them all divided. I've got one man chained up with pride and jealousy and hatred. But I must get more, Master. Yes, many more. Bind the leaders. Oh, one more thing. If you can get one of the leaders, and then he chuckled, to fall into moral sin, boy, that will be great. Would you try? Constantly work on those who are weak. And if they can fall, then the whole of their, they call it testimony, will be destroyed. He was just going to say something else when she felt a hand pulling her back, and she was trembling. Agape, she said, we're up against a tremendous power. How can we face him? He's so brilliant. He's so clever. Come down with me. So she came downstairs and she was still trembling. And then he said, I've got something now to show you. See that numerum? Put your ear to the door. And she heard lovely soft music. Then she got a shock. She listened, and someone was weeping. Someone's crying. Who can it be? I don't like to tell you. Well, tell me. It's the Comforter weeping. But why is he weeping? You've got 5 rooms in this house that he can't get in. And what are they? I'll show you. So he took her to the second floor, and there was one room called the idle room. Well, she said, that room belongs to me. My father told me to have 5 rooms that belong to me. Yes. But that's an idle room. And in that room there are things that come before the Lord Jesus and me. Are you going to deal with them? She looked sad. Then he took her to another room and she saw self room. Ruth, unless you lose your life, you're never gain it. Are you prepared to really deal with self? If you want life in all its glory, you've got to lose this life that you might gain my spiritual life. And then there was another. I don't like to mention this. It was a room of bad literature. Very rarely she went in, but sometimes she did. And there were books there that were suggested. That's grieving him. And then she looked at this room and she could hardly believe it. It was TV room. And he took her in. He said, see that instrument? It can ruin your life. Would you discipline the knob? And never watch anything that's pornographic. And last of all, he took her into a room, and it was bass music. And he took her in, and there was some of the old pop heavy rock metal that would put people on drugs. And would you believe it? And when she heard it, she had a shock. They were putting Christian words to lyrics that would put people on drugs. It's called LSD telepathy. Ruth, you can't listen to that. It's a paradox. I never realized it. Now you deal with those things, and something wonderful will happen. She had a terrible battle. She dealt with 3 of the rooms, but there were 2 rooms she felt she couldn't deal with. One were the idols, the things that were coming before the Lord, and the other was self. And one day a miracle took place. She went right near the Pneuma room, and I don't like to tell you this because she certainly was an emotional woman. She started to weep. Oh Lord Jesus, I realize this, that you died and you shed your precious blood that you might cleanse me. Every part of this house really belongs to you, and I have closed you out of 2 rooms. Oh Lord, please forgive me. And take over those 2 rooms right now and be the complete Lord of this life. And then the door opened without her opening it. And the place was filled with glory. There was the smell of life. And she went back to those rooms and all the doors were opened and all the idols were gone. And as she went into every room, there was the beautiful smell of life. And she went back to the Numa room, and she heard singing and rejoicing that was unbelievable. And then she said this, hitting her hand. Why did I close the door? Why didn't I put him first the first time? Think of the months I brought sorrow to him. Oh, I'm so sorry. And look at the glory that he's given to me. And then the door opened and in came love. And for the first time, she actually felt his love. And they walked hand in hand together. And the whole house seemed to be singing with joy and love. Now, Ruth, he says, you've often asked me a question. Why do I keep on going away and I've never told you? Would you come with me to the telescope room again? And I'll show you what I'm doing when I go away. She couldn't get there quick enough. She switched on. Now he says, look. And she saw him leaving the house with a heavy coat on and with a lamp. And she saw darkness, the like she's never seen before. She saw the grey cloud, and it was greyer than ever. And she saw the black cloud, and it was blacker than ever. And there was her husband, Agapetros, going through all this terrible darkness. Then she looked, and she saw a tent in a field. And in that tent there were about 200 people, and she looked and she could hardly believe it. But in that tent there was still the darkness resting upon certain people. And then she saw a preacher, and he was preaching to the best of his ability, but as she listened, she smiled and said, not too good, but he is uplifting the Lord Jesus. And then she saw something that was wonderful. The Lord went to a girl with his lamp, and she was surrounded by darkness, and he knocked on the girl's heart like this. He says, my dear, I want you to receive me not as a savior, but as Lord. And the door opened, and in he came, and her house became Soma, the dwelling place of the Lord. It was wonderful. Then he went to another fellow, and he had backslidden, and he put the lamp over him, and quietly lifted him, and said, Jack, come away from the world. That doesn't belong to you, all this darkness. You come. Come back to the Lord. And he restored all the years that the old enemy had broken in that door. It was wonderful. Then he came to one fellow, and he was surrounded by darkness, darker than any of the others. It seemed as though he had a struggle to get there. He held the lamp, and then he knocked on the door. And as he knocked, everything was blocked up. It was all dark. And then all of a sudden she looked right in, and she saw something that caused her to shake with fear. She saw the whole power of devils surrounding that boy, and they were whispering, don't let him in. Hold out. Don't let him in. What about the boys at school? What about the good time that you want to have? Don't let him in.
as he kept knocking. And the lad seemed to move and go toward the door, and he put his hand on the latch, and then she saw something that was wicked. She saw a hand like a claw, almost pull it back. And she couldn't help it. She had to say, you wicked monster! It was coming from the pit. And she kept saying, let him in! Let him in! Shh. You can't disturb this. This is my work. And then he kept knocking, knocking, knocking. And then she looked inside. It was like a tug of war. There was the Holy Spirit pulling on the rope of repentance. There were these terrible demons, principalities, pulling on the rope of the world. And one moment the handkerchief was going that way. The next moment it was going that way. And the struggle was tremendous. Then she was turned away from this battle to a little house. And Mum and Dad were praying. And she looked. And Dad was pleading with God that he would break his son and save him. The mother couldn't pray. She was too broken. She was just sobbing in the presence of God. Save my son! And then the telescope went back. And she saw the boy getting up, going to the handle of the door. He was just going to open it. I'll finish it tomorrow. Tomorrow morning. But now, let's calm down. I was in my little room praying, if you don't mind me saying this, and the Lord made it very clear there were many of you like that. There was a tug of war going on in your life. Let the Lord win. Can I say this to you? I've never seen a life that Jesus has spoiled. Never. I've seen hundreds of lives smashed by sin. Get that handle up and receive Christ tonight. And if you're really saved and it's the work of God, you'll be put in the ecclesia, the church of God, and you'll reign with Christ. Let's sing that hymn, Maranatha. Could you come out, lovey? Maranatha. When we'll just play it. And then you hum it, and then we'll sing it. Maranatha has a real meaning. Maranatha. Maranatha. Jesus is coming. Coming soon. Any day now. Any day now. Jesus is coming. Coming soon.
Now let's really sing it from our heart.